If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and that's where we'll be hanging out all day. We have almost made it through the book of Galatians. Pretty excited about that, and to be able to walk through these next few sections with you in these next coming weeks. Let's pray before we begin. God, we come, and we're just so thankful that we can be here, that we can gather together, and that we can worship you. We ask that through our songs and through the reading of your word and through our hearts being receptive to what you have to say to us, that it would be a blessing to you. It would be an offering to you today, that you'd be well pleased with us. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every place you go has a culture. And there's a culture to it, and we kind of can identify very quickly that there are some things that are beautiful in most cultures, and there's some things that are not so beautiful. Cultures are how we order ourselves, how we operate ourselves, what are the values of the people in that country, what's the mode of operation. So if I said something like French culture, you would go, immediately your mind would start thinking culturally, and it would go, great food, lots of fat in it, and butter, and deliciousness. You would go art, you would go architecture, and then you might go, well, everyone smokes, and everyone is over-sexualized. So there's good and bad in that culture, right? You may go, well, German culture, beer, pretzels, cathedrals, Holocaust, Hitler, right? It's a part of their culture. It's a part of who they were and what has happened. You could go Mexican culture. What you might be thinking of is music, bright colors, dance, drug cartel. And there's good and bad, right? There's good and bad in all cultures. American culture, melting pot, independence, privacy, achievement, arrogant, direct, messy. That's kind of our culture, right? And we have these cultures that we can see, and you could break it down even farther. You could go, by region, by section, Midwest culture compared to Southern culture, and you could do all of that stuff. But there's always these values and these things, and there's good and bad in both of them. But why is there good and bad in both of those things? Well, today in the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at is because there's two cultures that are over all cultures. And they dictate whether it is a good part of culture or a bad part of culture. What Paul is going to call it is he's going to call it the flesh, or he's going to call it living by the Spirit. And what really that is there's two cultures. They're always at war with each other. There's a kingdom of heaven or a culture of heaven, which Jesus brought with him. And there is a culture of hell. And we have brought that in, we have allowed that in, and we bring that up to ourselves, and it's always a choice within a culture. Jesus came down, he lived in the culture of heaven, everything he did was through the work of the Spirit in his life. He was walking in step with the Spirit, he was walking in step with the culture of heaven. He lived the culture of heaven, he lived the cultural values of love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He was empowered to do that by the Spirit of God. It is the same way that you and I were built. We were built to live this culture of heaven, this kingdom of heaven out in our lives. There is also a culture of hell, which is unforgiveness, bitterness, addiction, self-righteousness, devouring one another, those types of things. Every day we're faced with cultural questions. We're faced with cultural choices. We're invited to walk with the Spirit because of the Spirit of the living God. The Bible says if that you've said yes to Jesus, what has happened is that the Spirit of the living God is in you. He's indwelled within you, and he's walking with you. And you get to choose those types of things. You get to choose which culture that you will be a part of. Jesus prays, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is he saying? In heaven, everything is the way it's supposed to be. It rocks there. It's awesome there. God's there. And it's everything is always about love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. All of those things are always there, always dwelling, always is the choice of heaven. When you get here, there's these two cultures, and they're at war with each other. And so what Jesus is praying for you and for himself and for he's teaching us to pray is that we would choose, we would walk with the Spirit and choose the kingdom or the culture of heaven in our lives. Paul talks about this. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were not called to live in the destiny. You were called to live in this destiny that God has called you. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So what is he talking about here? He's like, hey, you are called to be free. You're called to live out these really incredible values of heaven in your life. This frees you. The truth sets you free. And he says, but don't use this to indulge the values of hell. It's living really without God, or living without light in your life, or a portion of your life. You've made a profession of your faith, but you're not living in the light of what God has called you. You're not walking by the Spirit. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. We talked about this last week. This is religion. Everyone is attacking one another and saying that it's in the name of God. Well, at least I'm in church. No, both of these things are bad, right? Both of the religious and the rebellion against the kingdom of heaven and the culture of heaven are both bad. They're both part of the kingdom of hell. And so what Paul is trying to get them to understand is this concept of love, but really the fruit of the Spirit. Think of it this way. If you were, if your brother or sister is a prisoner of war, and you have to get them out of there, and you love them, and you want to take them out of this prison or this place where they're being held, how would you do that? You would go in and you would gently grab them or pick them up or walk with them to this place of freedom, right? That's all through the Scriptures. That's what we do with each other. Is when we see our brother and sister in a place of the kingdom, imprisoned by the kingdom of hell, we walk toward them and we either walk with them or we pick them up and take them with us. We do it gently, though, and we do it out of love because they're caught in this. And we would want the same for ourselves. If the culture of hell is going to enter into your life, it's going to be in one of two ways. It's always in one of two ways. It's either through rebellion or it's through religion. It's always that way. This is how Satan tries to trap us and capture us. It's both of these are demonic cultures. For those of you who have kids, you can probably think back to those days, or you can think even right now. Some of your kids have a natural proclivity toward rebellion. Some of your kids have a natural proclivity of tattling and being really, really religious about everything, right? Both of those are portions, or can be used by Satan to promote his kingdom. Jesus talks all the time about relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He had a relationship with the Spirit of the living God, which empowered him to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus is not rebellious, and he's not religious. He's relational, and he invites us into that relationship with him. So Paul says in verse 16, he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Think about walking for a second. Walking is relational. It's relational. He says walk with, and so you're walking with the Spirit, right? So if I invited you to go for a walk, it's relational. It's like, hey, let's go for a walk. And we're walking along, and what are we doing? We're talking, we're thinking about things, we're solving all the world's problems together. But it's relational, right? The same thing is what Paul is saying is walk by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit of the living God. Walk in step with him. There's a relationship, and that's really what God wants. He wants us to be in relationship with him, to walk with him in this life, and to not gratify the desires of the flesh. Some of you sitting here, you're going, Well, how do you do that? What does that look like? I have things in my life that I'm probably not walking with the Spirit. You know, I struggle with attitudes, or I struggle with addictions, and I have all this stuff. Well, how do I even start to walk with the Spirit? What does it look like to invite the Spirit to walk with me and for me to invite that relationship into my life? Living in the kingdom of God, or living in the culture of the kingdom, is this. God gave us the keys to his kingdom. He gave us the master key to his kingdom. First off, through the person of Jesus Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, you enter into the kingdom of God. You enter into this relationship with God. But then Jesus says, hey, I'm going to bring someone else here for you. I'm going to bring this counselor. I'm going to bring this one who will speak the truth to you. I will bring this one who knows me and knows my ways, and you get to walk with him. So God gave you the master key to the kingdom. How to do this, how to live out this culture in your life. And it's being open to the Spirit. The Spirit's like a tour guide. He opens the door. This is how you handle this situation. So you're walking over here and you're going to work, and this person that you can't stand is there and says something that's going to set you off. And you're walking in there with the keys to the kingdom, the key of the kingdom, the master key. And the Spirit says, hey, just let it go. Or the Spirit says, hey, you need to confront that and say, you know, that's not okay. Sometimes it's this really difficult conversation that we don't want to have. But the Spirit is there and it's speaking to us. It's prompting us because we're open to it. God, what do you want from me today? Spirit, how do you want to guide me? And as we open those doors in those situations, what happens is the Spirit begins to lead and guide and bring the kingdom of heaven down to here. Some of you... there's just things in your life that you don't want the Spirit of God to come because you're enjoying the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh are enjoyable in their proper context. In their proper context, they are enjoyable. The things of this world. But sometimes we just don't want to have that. Some of you have sexual pressure. Some of you have emotional stress. Some of you have financial issues. And how do you begin to walk with that? You grab the master key and you take the step into that. You go, God, what do you want in this situation for me? What is your desire in this situation? And you began to listen. This is exactly how Jesus lived. He walked with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit. He lived in the presence of God. That's pretty awesome, right? Like, there are times where things were he was getting low on the power, right? And he would go off and he would pray and he would ask God and he would seek God through the work of the Spirit in his life. But the presence of God was with him. The presence of God is with you. You can walk into any situation, and the question is, God, what do you want in this situation? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this thing? Jesus walked with the master key. He had the power and the presence, and he had the relationship with God. This is what the Bible promises. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit has come into you and is connected into your life, and it's a life source, it's a master key to the kingdom of heaven. You have it already. We have it already. If you have the master key, I believe that it keeps you. So he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When you're walking with the Spirit, it keeps you from the twin towers of rebellion or religion. It keeps you away from those cultures. It pushes you into this relationship with God. For the flesh, it goes on, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. There's only two ways to live, he's saying. You can either live by the kingdom of hell, or are you going to live by the kingdom of heaven? The flesh, or you can live in the flesh or you can live in the spirit. And the spirit is what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you don't do whatever you want. But if you're led by the spirit, you are not under the law. You're actually free. You're actually free to live how God has called you to live, how God has designed you to live. You're never more human than when you have the keys to the kingdom, the master key to the kingdom of God, and you understand how to live this thing out as you walk into these situations. You're walking hand in hand with the very presence of God in your life. It's good for all matters of life. How do I respond to this? You respond to it in love. How do I enjoy this? Well, you do it through the work of God. How do I go through this trial? With Jesus and His Spirit in relationship. You know, the scriptures talk about people being sinners like 300 times. And you know, when it talks about people who are in Christ, it only says it like a couple of times where it's connected to sinners. One of the things I think that we have a problem with, if you're a follower of Jesus, is we identify as being sinners. And some of you will say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're a saint. Jesus paid it all. It's all been done through the work of Jesus. And you now have a relationship with God. Your relationship with God has been restored, and you have the master key to the kingdom. You have the master key inside of you, walking with you, indwelling you, and you get to do this. You get to walk with God. Think about that. Every morning that you wake up, you get to go, God, how do you want me to live? What's the adventure we have today? Like, this is awesome. And that's what Paul is trying to help the Galatians to see and to understand. That you have this new identity that frees you up. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. This is amazing. You're a new creation. How do you know if you're walking with the spirit? This is where we get in trouble sometimes, I think, also, is like, well, I'm a good person, I'm a good citizen, I do this, I do that. What's your deepest desire? What's your deepest desire? I'm not actually literally asking you, but just think about that for a second. This is how we know. Like, because it begins to change our deepest desires. It begins to change our deepest heart conditions. Not to the things of the kingdom of hell, but to the things of the kingdom of heaven. What's our deepest desire? You've been reborn. You become a part of the second Adam. You're a new creation. God has given you an appetite for the things of Him, for the things of heaven, for the things of the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to pray. We get to pray. It's amazing. For the last 2 weeks, I've been soaking this thing in. So, like, I'll just tell you, I'm learning with you guys about Galatians, and I've never preached fully through this book. I've read through this book many times, but never really preached. And one of the things that keeps coming out is this idea of spirit. And so I've been waking up every morning going with this question, God, what do you have for me today? How do you want me to handle this? And I will tell you, it's weird at first. And you're like, okay, well, I don't know how that's working. But all of a sudden, you have a kingdom, like you have the key in your hand. You're like, God, what does your spirit want me to do today? And I'm not saying like, God's like this audible voice, Levi, you shall go to the gas station. It's not like that, but like in these situations, like all of a sudden I'm like, typing, no, that's not what he wants. That one. No, we're going to delete that. It's revolutionized some of the way my heart is being transformed, because there's places in there that I'm learning about, one of the places is I really love to be right. And it's not wrong being right. It just is, right? And yet, what is the Spirit want in those things? Humility. To come alongside gently. And these are the things that, like, as I'm walking in this adventure, it's like a new adventure every day with God. Like, this is awesome. And so I want to encourage you, just start, when you wake up in the morning, like, God, what do you want? What do you want your Spirit to teach me today? How are we going to walk together today? It's that close of a relationship. It's not just a Sunday relationship. It's not just a Bible reading relationship. It's not just a little bit of a prayer relationship. It's walking with God all the time. That's what Jesus did. He did it all the time. He walked with the Spirit. Man, and all of a sudden you start going, okay, well, man, it's not that I have to read my Bible. It's I get to read my Bible because it speaks words of truth and words of life, words of adventure to me and how to live this thing. Sometimes I will tell you, I will read the scriptures and I'm like, I have no idea. I know what it says, but I'm like, I have no idea what this means to me. And then it's like 3 days later, the Spirit's like, oh, that's, and you're like, oh, that's what that was for. It was so I could go into this room with you, God, and I could be prepared for this room over here that you had. It was there. It was coming. You knew it was coming. And I needed to be prepared for that through the work of the Scripture in my life, through the work of your Spirit in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, that's why I was reading that. That's pretty good. And you, all of a sudden, you began to see how God is working and walking with you. It's this relationship thing. You know, we don't have to pray. We don't have to read the Bible. We get to do those things. We get to meet with God's people. This is an awesome thing, to meet with God's people. You don't have to meet with God's people. But you should want to meet with God's people. It should be a desire of your heart to meet with God's people. And you might be going, well, Levi, you get paid to meet with God's people. And that's true. That's true. When Travis and I were in Vegas, we were driving along, and we got an Uber to go to church. And the funniest part about this whole thing is we got to go and experience this church, and it was really great and everything. But the cab driver, he asked us where we were going. And we said, well, we're going to church. And he thought we were kidding, and so he kind of played along. And then we pulled up into the parking lot of the church, and he's like, you guys really are going to church. I have never seen this in Vegas. Someone comes to Vegas and then goes to church. We got to meet with God's people. It was awesome, and it was good. And I will tell you this, I was freezing the whole time because those people do not know how to control their air conditioning. But it was awesome to meet with God's people. When the Holy Spirit comes, it fundamentally, it changes things in your heart. It changes desires, directions, and it changes our very nature. Let me explain it in another way. I'm going to explain it with licorice. I used to love red licorice. I used to eat it by the pound. I loved it. We'd buy one of those 2 pounds of Twizzlers, and I would just eat that and watch a movie. I loved red licorice. One day we were traveling from, this is about 19 years ago, we were traveling from Grand Rapids up to here to see my parents. And I bought a bunch of red licorice. And I was eating this stuff the whole trip, and just enjoyable, right? Miles, just eating the licorice. Well, we got to my parents' house, I didn't feel so good anymore. And I was like, ooh, I don't feel so good. And then I got a fever. And then things were coming out all over the place. And I'll tell you this. I've never eaten another piece of red licorice in my entire life. It fundamentally changed my taste for those things. The Spirit of the living God does the same thing. He fundamentally changes your heart. He changes your nature. He changes the way you think about things. And those things that are in the old nature, they become less and less desirable. They become like red licorice to you. That's what the Spirit does. You've been saved. You've been given the master key to the kingdom of God. Church, we have the master key to the kingdom of God. It's amazing. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Paul goes on. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're walking into these rooms and you're living not the kingdom of heaven, you're living the kingdom of hell. And so you can have the kingdom. He breaks them up into three categories here for us. Sexual sin, spiritual sin, and social sin. Does anyone not struggle in these categories, right? We all struggle in one of these or two of these or all three of these. Some of you struggle in sexual sins. It talks about immorality, and there's a Greek word there where we get our word pornography from. I read this and I was thinking, you know, immorality, impurity. The world hasn't really changed. We're just plugged into the internet now. That's the difference. Like it was there back then, and it's here today, and it's a choice of, like, are we going to listen to the Spirit, the kingdom of heaven being promoted in our heart? Are we going to listen to the kingdom of hell? Impurity, any sexual sin. Remember, God created Adam and Eve, and they're absolutely naked, and they're pure. And this impurity enters in, and shame and guilt come in, and there's this walk of shame that they have, and some of you have had. Debauchery or sensuality. It's a lack of restraint or decency. The culture of hell. I want you to embrace these things. The culture of heaven wants you to be free of these things, to not live this counterfeit, to not live in this lie that this is good, but to live in the things that God has created and the beauty that God has created. God has created sex, and God thinks it's a beautiful thing between a man and a woman in a marriage. It's a beautiful, good thing that God has created. So we never want to say that it's a bad thing in that sense. But outside of that, it's not okay. It's not good. It's a counterfeit to what God has created. The next sin of choice is idolatry. And this is anything that is the gravitational center of your universe. For some of you, it's money. It just is. That's why Jesus died, to talk about it so much. That's why we talk about it. It's an idol in your life. Money's not bad. Money's awesome. Makes the world go round. But it's not your security. It's not your identity. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. This one can capture your heart. Just because you have lots of money doesn't mean that's your sin. And just because you don't have any money doesn't mean that's not your idol. Another idol can be your kids. Some parents worship their kids. Some guys worship their recreation, golf and fishing and hunting and all of these other things. Yeah, none of those things are... Kids are awesome. They're a blessing from God. Recreation is a good thing. Jesus did it. You and I can worship work, our reputation. It can be an idol in our lives. An idol can become your convenience or your comfort. When it becomes the center and everything revolves around it, you might have an issue. Jesus is our center. Everything should revolve around him. It goes on and it says witchcraft. And we kind of think of, you know, little witch up there, you know, making potions and curses on you. Like, that's not really what it's talking about. No, that's bad too, but it's talking about spiritless spirituality. We live in a day where people are very spiritual, but they're not talking about the Holy Spirit. They're talking about a demonic spirit. People will say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. That's another way of saying I'm not religious, I'm demonic. Like, that's just what it is. You see, self-help books. You see people who are using the framework of Christian to speak into the scriptures in a different way than it was intended. And it actually kind of feels good, and yet it doesn't make Jesus the center. It wants you to be the center. It wants me to be the center. The third category is social sins. And this is, the flesh is always trying to ruin relationships. Always trying to do that. Because it puts us at the center, puts us at the, like, us being the top dog, or and everything else is supposed to revolve around us. And for some of you, you struggle with this, and you have some acquaintances, but you don't have real friendships because you've blown all of those up. Your anger and your reaction has brought strife into relationship. Your lack of ability to be humble, your lack of ability to say, I'm sorry. Has brought this in there, and it's from the kingdom of hell. The flesh is always trying to ruin relationships. God is always trying to restore relationships. God is a relational being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. We're supposed to be in relationship with God and with others. We need others in our lives. So the kingdom and the culture of hell is there to destroy relationships. The kingdom of heaven is to restore relationships. Some of you have family members where their relationship is destroyed. Their marriages are on the rocks. Some of you have friendships that are just broken, and you think it's everyone else's fault. You're the victim. Sometimes you're the victim. Sometimes you have not loved well. You've not walked with the keys to the kingdom of God. You've not lived out those words that he talks about, this fruit of the Spirit, of joy, of love, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, of self-control. You weren't self-controlled. You weren't good. And yet, yeah, what they did back to you was not okay, but some of it's you. We live in a world where everyone is easily offended. Quit being so easily offended. That's not very heaven culture. Microaggressions and all of this other stuff. You know what? Here's the deal, folks. This is what Christians do. This is what the Bible teaches, and I'll make it really simple. If you have offended someone, go up to them and say, I'm sorry. And if you're a Christian, I accept your apology. Forgiveness granted. That's how it works in the kingdom of heaven. We don't cancel each other out. We don't do that. Some of your relationships are broken because you have done that. Many of us think, well, I'm not a jealous person. It talks about jealousy. I disagree with you because you check your Facebook all the time or whatever social media thing that you have, and you go like, what in the world? That person lost 50 pounds. Well, I gained the 50 pounds. How does that? I'm jealous. You start to covet the thing. Why they got a new car? Why'd they get a new car and not me a new car? And we start to covet those things. We become jealous of those things. They went on that trip. Look at how nice their kids look. When I go on a trip, my kids are like raggedy and crazy and tearing things up. Like, why? Like, we get jealous in social media. It's all based off of jealousy. I think that's what makes it go and run as it does, is because we look at other people and we want to know about what other people are doing. And sometimes we don't have enough of a relationship with those people to know that much about them. Some of you have anger issues. I'm not an angry person. Or maybe you're going right now, this whole thing's making me angry. Well, now you know, right? You go 0 to 100 and someone says something and you're just, boom, you're right there. And there's probably other things going on in your life and in your heart, and you need to ask the Spirit of the living God, what is that? What is that that's causing me to go from here to here? Is the offense really that bad? Some of you need to explore that. Talks about divisions. I might get myself in trouble, but yeah. Yeah. There's division in the church, in the churches. Even in this area, there's division in the churches. I'm going to say this, and I want to say this as kindly as possible. There are churches that are rainbow churches, and they will say something that the scriptures teach something other than a man and a woman for marriage. And they'll say, well, we're accommodating. Here at Evangel, we're accommodating to you. If you have same-sex attraction or you have attraction to someone else's wife, we're going to tell you that's wrong. It's kind of like a friend. This is how I see the difference in the churches. They're a friend who won't tell you you got a hanger in your nose. Evangel, we're going to tell you, hey, you got a hanger in your nose. It's uncomfortable for us. It's uncomfortable for you. But at least we told you, right? We're also going to love you whether you got a hanger in your nose or not. And this division in the churches, it's not, God, what does the scripture say? It's what does culture say? And that becomes a problem. Remember, we have this beautiful thing, the master key to the kingdom of God. See, Jesus came and he didn't just come to tell you what to do. He came to empower you with his Spirit, that you may live out the kingdom characteristics. God wants a relationship with you. And he wants to, he doesn't want to dictate rules to you. If you love me, you obey my commands. He does say that. But it comes out of a relationship. Love is a relational term. And he's saying, hey, if you love me, you'll understand that what I'm telling you is the very best thing for you. It's relational. It's always relational. Here's some characteristics of this life to the full that Jesus promises. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there's no law. Jesus' character in us. Jesus' character in us. These are all characters of Jesus, and they're the very best characters of humans. Religious people, I want to talk to you for just a moment. This passage does not say that you are the fruit inspectors. I don't see love in them. I don't see any joy in them. I don't see peace. We're going to fight, right? Like, no, stop that. You rebellious people, like if you are holding on to the kingdom of hell and the things of hell, you need to let those go. You're gardeners of the kingdom of heaven and in your life and other people's lives and your kids' life. Think about the things of your relationship with your children. Think about your relationship with your children. Like, we want our kids to know these things, to not just know them and be able to say them, but to live these things. And how do you do that in their lives? How are you on display? How are those fruits in your life? Maybe the question is, God, Spirit of the living God, how do I give away some of the fruit of the Spirit today? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your relationship with your kids. Maybe it's with that stinky, dirty jerk at work that you get to give the fruit of the Spirit away. Let me explain it this way, because I'm running out of time again. I don't know anybody, and maybe there is, don't raise your hand because it'll ruin my illustration. I don't know anybody who doesn't like grapes. Grapes are awesome. They're delicious. They're like the first little fruit boxes, right? Or juice boxes. They're amazing, right? They're you take them and delicious, right? A little party in my mouth right now. When you give away the fruit of the Spirit, it's like giving away grapes. They're made to give away. It's made, all of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that's made to be given away. God, how do I give these fruits away? Jesus talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that as we're living these things out, what happens is that we abide in Him, and we're a part of this, and we're connected to this, and it produces fruit. When we're connected in relationship to God, what happens is it produces fruit that is meant to be given away. He goes on, and let me just finish up this passage. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step, he says it again, with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. This week, I want to just challenge you. I want to challenge you with one thing. To wake up and to pray, God, how do you want me to walk today? How do you want me to walk with you today? And how do you want me to give away the fruit of the Spirit? In whatever relationship or whatever thing that you're doing, that it would produce something, that you would see the circumstances of life and you would see them as opportunities to live in step with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We're so thankful for your Spirit. We're so thankful for this new way of life, this heaven culture that is in us, and we have the ability to live in. God, for some reason, what I just sense, like some of our students, some of our high school students, some of our kids, some of the reasons that they're leaving the church in Groves is because we haven't been walking in the Spirit. We know you as our Savior, but we have not embraced your Spirit to open up the kingdom doors, to walk in the culture of heaven here on earth. God, I pray that for all of us today, that you would be on display in our lives, that your Spirit would be free to work in whatever situation that may be. God, that we would be willing to pray that and embrace that, that we would be willing to walk, as Paul talks about, in the Spirit, that in those situations, God, where we don't know the answer, that we would pray continually, that we would be in prayer, in relationship, in this walk with you. God, that this wouldn't be something that we do on Sunday or in our quiet times or in our small groups, but those would just be moments that would just energize us to continue to do that. God, let us be faithful to your word. Let us be faithful to who you are. Let's not be too religious and thinking we have this all down, but that we get this opportunity each day to have a new adventure with you. That's my prayer for myself and my friends today. In Jesus' name, amen.